Welcome to another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino, divorce and family law attorney in Seattle. I'm here with Amy Alpeza. She is a certified real estate divorce specialist with Windermere. And we're here with another great episode to give you guys an update on what is going on in our industries. So thanks for joining. Amy, great to be with you as always.
Yeah, always. Yep. It is it is a really interesting time in the market. And so today we wanted to talk a little bit about market updates, what's going on in the local real estate market, also maybe a little touch on the national news. And Michelle wants to get you guys covered on all things family law and divorce related, things that you need to be thinking about this year as we end first quarter moving forward. So
I mean, the year's already flying by. It's hard to believe that we're already in the second quarter of the year.
Right?
And, you know, it seems like it was just the holiday. So anyway, a lot is happening. Let's start with real estate. What's going on with the market? Tell us.
Absolutely. The market is so interesting this year. You know, last year we ended 2023 on kind of a heavy note with interest rates being so high and a lot of people not willing to move, even though maybe it wasn't the right, you know, place for them anymore, not wanting to give up those low interest rate mortgages.
People were scared is kind of what I felt like. There was like, it was palpable at the end of last year because it was such a big change.
Totally. It, which is rightfully so, right? I mean, I think everyone kind of thought we were going to hover around 3 or 4% interest rates indefinitely, which we did for over a decade. But now that they're at, you know, more sustainable levels long term, we were still around the 7% interest rate for mortgages. Buyers are finally like, you know what, we gotta buy something. And sellers are on the same track. You know, they are tired of waiting. And so we are seeing we're not seeing an uptick in inventory, which that is, you know, some might find it hard to believe, but it's as soon as inventory comes on, if it's well-priced, it's selling really quick.
Right.
And I mean, the median house price on the east side was almost 1.5. It was 1.47 last month.
So the market is still really strong for sellers.
Well, and 42% of listings sold over list price.
Wow. So are you still seeing multiple offers on things? Is that still happening?
Yes. So last year, it was very little, especially the second half of last year. Starting January 1st, it was, 21 offers, 15 offers, 32 offers. And these are not homes that are underpriced. They're just homes that are really great, maybe for the area. Maybe they are good value or they seem to be a good value. And so it's driving up lots of competition. And this is kind of in the, this is in the $1 million to $2 million range.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing as many multiple offers in that $2 to $3 million range, but they are out there. I mean, it is surprising. So just be aware of that. And I think, for buyers who are thinking about it, maybe they've been on the fence for a while, or maybe they're renting, or maybe they have to sell and then buy something else. It's just, you really want to be informed about the market and how to be competitive when you're making an offer. And then also if you're a seller thinking about, you know, pricing your home properly, because I've seen some really cool listings here in my backyard that are, I think they're good looking homes. They seem to be well priced and then they don't get any offers and the offer review date passes. So overpricing even by a little bit is so important to stay away from. And, you know, I have sellers.
It makes the difference of getting multiple offers or getting none, right?
Yeah. I mean, houses that are at 1.5, let's say, and if you had listed them at 1.45, you might get 10 offers and escalate to 1.7. But if you're at 1.5, you just, for some reason, it's that psychological piece that buyers feel like, well, I can't escalate any more than that, so I'm not going to try.
They feel like they're at their max, and otherwise you're attracting other people that feel like they have room. That makes a lot of sense. Interesting. And do you feel like, I guess, the lack of inventory is keeping prices strong, I'm guessing?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're still at 0.8 months, both Seattle side and east side, in terms of if no new inventory came on the market, all homes would be sold within a month.
Wow, that's kind of crazy. That's really crazy, actually. So, I mean, it's a good time if you want to sell your home. Like, now is the time because buyers are out there. And if you want to buy, like, what are you waiting for? Because it doesn't seem like things, I mean, things are not going to go back to like pandemic interest rates.
No, definitely not. I mean,
No.
even this year, the Fed had said that they wanted to drop interest rates three times this year. Well, we're still hovering. I think inflation rates, what I read last week was like 2.8%.
Right. I read that.
And they're not going to lower rates until we get down to the 2% inflation. Well, unemployment, I think unemployment is 4%. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
It's really, really low. And so they're, the economy is super strong right now. And
Yeah.
so that's what's also driving interest rates to stay
That
higher.
makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting time, you know, and I think in our area too, especially like our economy and just the tech sector and all of the people here, like there's so much demand, you know, that when inventory's low, like it's not gonna change. You got to get out there and you got to, otherwise, what are you waiting for? I mean, you see people, and the thing I think too that's just worth noting is I just see it with clients, like when people are thinking about what to do, rents are really high. So
Yeah, they are.
when rents are so high, it's kind of like you have to make a decision. And is it really a great idea to get yourself, you know, paying 3,000, 4,000 a month in rent? Is that really a good idea? Probably not. So you kind of forces you to go back to going like, okay, interest rates too, if they change later, you can refinance. And maybe it's a good time to not pay rent to someone else if you don't have to. Yeah.
Well, and with the market, I mean, we're in a market where because we have such a strong economy and a lot of local businesses that employ, tens of thousands of people, our appreciation rate here has been pretty staggering over the last 10 years. And, sometimes we see that dip, especially coming out of COVID and when interest rates went up, we did see kind of a dip in appreciation. But it's temporary, and housing prices here just continue to rise. And I think that's one of the biggest things that, as a state and nationwide, is affordability, right? So affordability has become really hard here in the Pacific Northwest. And thankfully, we have a lot of dual income, high earning couples that can afford purchase prices here, but it is difficult. And so that's why, statewide last year, they passed a new law that you can build an ADU and a DADU. So that's an attached dwelling unit and a detached dwelling unit in your single family property. So, and that's in all single family zoning. So that was pretty significant. And so, I mean, you've seen a lot of that in Seattle, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
because you used to have to be zoned for an ADU, you know, right? And now you don't have to be. So it's a big difference. Well, yeah, and affordability is a huge thing. I mean, we see that with people, you know, when they go through divorce, and it's kind of like, okay, the resources that sustain one house now have to sustain two. People are like, I really can't. I just dealt with this with a client in the last couple of weeks. It was like, I really can't afford to stay here. I've been living in West Seattle and I'm not going to be able to afford that, and coming to grips with that and like what that looks like for people, you know. So I do think like those kind of changes to allow more ADUs and DADUs is a good thing, you
It
know.
is totally. And it's funny because I was chatting with a colleague last night that they actually build a lot of ADUs and DADUs on Seattle properties. And the clientele that that property attracts is completely different
Right.
than may some, like I think it's more the younger generation too, who are, millennials and first-time home buyers coming into the market. And it's still 1,000 square feet or it's 800 square feet. So it's a condo alternative, right? And even though you might be in someone's backyard, it's like, okay, well, I'd rather live in someone's backyard than in a, high-rise condo, for example.
Yeah.
And you have all those dues that are associated with it. So there's definitely the city and, nationwide, they are looking at ways to expand housing and to make it more affordable. But Yeah, I'm not sure that we're really there yet in terms of affordability.
No, I totally get that. It's an interesting time. I mean, I think as far as the divorce update, just kind of what I have for people is we've ended the first quarter, and a lot of people might know, or you might not know, that people think about the first quarter of the year as kind of divorce season, and it's really, really busy. And the reasons why, I think, are people go through the holidays, they end the year, they're like, new year, new start, I'm going to make a change. And so we've seen a lot of that. Filings in both King and Snohomish County are up compared to this time last year, even. And I mean, I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing, like people getting divorced, but it just shows that people, I think it really is in a way tied into the economy too, because they're kind of like, I'm not scared to make a move. And in the past, people have been like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to have my job. I don't know if I can really afford to leave this marriage. And now we're seeing people just kind of being like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go ahead. And I think more confidence in the economy too is a thing that is triggering that. As we think about this next quarter, and I think about just talking to clients that are, kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to go ahead. I think my top three tips for people when they're assessing what they're going to do, coming out of a busy first quarter and having still a lot of people that are not sure if they're ready to move forward and they're thinking about it. The things that I think really help people make a decision is one, if you don't know, you need to talk to, I can't help clients make that decision.
Talk to a therapist.
Yes, a bad situation doesn't get better without work. So it's a good time for you to evaluate whether you need an individual therapist to do some like divorce ambivalence counseling to help you figure out whether you should move forward to get you out of that like paralysis state and like that, because that's a really hard place to be. And if you're in a couple's situation and one of you wants to leave and the other one doesn't want that, discernment counseling with a therapist is also a good idea. But getting some professional help, because I have clients and potential clients that are like, I'm just not sure, and they're looking for me to tell them. And I'm like, I can tell you the mechanics of your divorce and financially what it may or may not look like, or custody, but I can't help you know when the right time is. And I'm never in the business of wanting to push people that way
Totally.
at
No.
all. Like, so you need to do the due diligence. So the first thing is get professional help if you don't know. The second thing is get your financials in order. The first quarter we saw a lot of people like rushing to make a decision, and a lot of people not really prepared with financials. And I mean, not everybody gets to make the choice too. You might be served paperwork, not know this is coming, and kind of have to scramble. But if you're in that category of people who's thinking about, do I want to separate? Do I want to move on? Do some homework ahead of time. It'll save you time and money, and it'll help your attorney really be able to tell you better like what you're looking at. So get like just a basic checklist of 6 months of every account you have a financial interest in. Download them, save them, organize them to a folder. Get your last 2 years of tax returns and W-2s together. Get a year, 6 months minimum, preferably a year of pay stubs. Get all your financials together. It's going to help you. It's going to help you start your case better. It's going to help move things along quicker for you, and it's going to save you time and money than, the attorney having to help you hunt that down. So get your financials together is my second tip. And then my third tip really is to do a consultation. There's so much available online, and that's not a bad thing, but nothing can be a substitute for really discussing your individual situation with an attorney and getting some perspective. I even think it's worth it to do maybe two or three consultations, because the right attorney isn't the right person for everyone.
Absolutely.
If you really click with someone, great, and you feel confident in that. If you have a good referral, that's great. But if you don't, no matter where you are, interview two or three attorneys, get some different perspectives, get some different ideas about different styles. Don't feel like you have to go with the first person or the person that comes up highest on Google. Like, really, do your individual therapy, get your financials together, and then meet with an attorney to discuss your individual situation. So those are my top three tips for going into Q2.
I love that, Michelle. I think obviously those are super smart, but I love the last one is, do some consultations with attorneys because not all family law attorneys are created equal or have the experience, or maybe they don't understand the nuances of your case, right? If you're in a high conflict case or you're in a long-term marriage or you have, little kids at home and only one, spouse is working. There are so many different nuances that you need to find the right support in your divorce. And so, don't be afraid to spend that $300 or $400 or $500 for the consultation.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the best investments that you could make. So
Totally. I completely agree. And I would say too, like another one that really sticks out is there might be people listening that are unmarried couples. In Washington, they're called committed intimate relationships. In other states, they might be called other things if we have out of state listeners listening. But not that's it's a really good example where not every family law attorney does those kind of cases.
right.
And you need to like there are, and there's more and more unmarried couples in long-term relationships. And if you're exiting one of those relationships, even if you're not one of our divorcing clients or listeners, you should talk to somebody too, even more so, to make sure you have the right fit. So anyway, hopefully this was helpful for people. You got a good market update. You got some fast tips for what to do if you're thinking about moving forward with divorce. And hopefully we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah, and if anybody's looking for a resource,
Yeah.
like a family counselor or therapist, or maybe a financial advisor who can give you some advice from that perspective, let us know. Send us a message. We're happy to connect you guys with a lot of really great local professionals that
Definitely.
can help you with your situation. So.
Definitely feel free to reach out. And if you're a listener elsewhere and you need a family law attorney almost anywhere in the country, feel free to ask me. I've got a really strong network of people all over. So we're here to help. And that's, part of why we do this. So anyway, have a great day, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.